What's up, everybody? I decided to start the podcast off a little bit differently this week. I want to start talking before the podcast and, you know, kind of preview the podcast and catch everybody up on what's been going on, you know, little things like that. So really quick, hey, what's going on? I'm Jesse Rivera. Welcome to What's Next with Jesse Rivera, the podcast where I talk to some of my really cool creative friends and I find out, what's next, man? What are you doing? What are you up to? You know? Today on the podcast, we have got Mariah Mayhem. Mariah Gabriella. Is it Gabriella or Gabrielle? Shit. Let's say Mariah G. Barrera. They are on Instagram at Mariah_Mayhem. And we'll get to her in just a little bit. Before that, I do want to say that I got a big announcement. It's big. I'm excited about it. I've been wanting to do a Latin themed comedy show at just anywhere, right? I've been wanting to do a Latin themed comedy show for the longest time, and I reached out to the Callback Bar, and they liked the idea. So we are going to bring you a show called Sabor a Mi, and I'll just read you the show description, okay? Sabor a Mi, a comedy show presented by Jesse Rivera, that's me, is here. This show is created by and will feature comedians who live in the U.S., but whose comedy brings a little bit of their parents, abuelitos y abuelitas homeland to the stage. From Mexico to Puerto Rico and beyond, we share our stories, our lives, our raza, to give you, our audience, a little bit of Sabor a Mi. ¿Tú sabes? Yo sé. Anyway, the first Sabor a Mi is going to be on Sunday, May the 5th, inside the Callback Bar at the Sacramento Punchline. And we were able to put together a banger of a lineup. It's the dream lineup. It really is. This lineup is so good. I'm like, what am I going to do on the next lineup? You know, assuming there's going to be a next, right? But this lineup is so good, I'm a little bit worried, like, what am I going to do on the next one? But we'll worry about that when we get there. So for this show, check out this lineup, kids. Check it out. I already said, I'm hosting Jesse Rivera. We have got on this show, I really wanted to show some respect to a couple of guys that have helped me out from day one, hosting open mics all over Sacramento. Danny Luna and Ed Mena are on this show. These are my pals. I love these guys. The very first time I ever did an open mic was at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, and Ed Mena brought me up. No, I don't get tired of telling that story. So this show will have Danny Luna and Ed Mena. Also, we'll have the little sister, the Mija, the daughter I never knew I wanted, Amber Ellis. Love her to death. She is going to be on the show as well. The show will feature my sis, Lourdes Oyon. Lourdes and I became pals when comedy started back up again after the pandemic. And we've been on some great shows together. And I'm so excited to have her featuring. And she is featuring for none other than Serena, the Spicy Latina Gamboa. Yes, Serena is coming into Sacramento. And she is closing out this show. So please, I implore you. I've just always wanted to say that sentence. Please, I implore you. Go to the link in my Instagram. You can go to my Instagram and go to my my homepage, my bio, and there's links there. Links in bio, as the kids say, and get yourself some tickets for Sunday, May the 5th. Okay, if you can't wait till Sunday to see some comedy, how about you come out to the Fox and Goose this Friday, because there's a great show at Fox and Goose this Friday. Yep. Second Fridays is back at Fox and Goose this Friday. Jess Harding is hosting this one. I'm going to be dropping a guest set, of course. We've got Aaron Weaver. We've got Mike Sella in the house. Yes, Mike Sella in the house. And headliner will be the hilarious Sydney Steigerts. It's going to be a great show. Friday, March the 8th at 8 p.m. Fox and Goose. What else do we got? I think that's it. Oh man, I cannot forget this. I want to do a very a birthday shout out to my very, very good friend, Mr. Johnny Taylor. His birthday is on Tuesday, March the 5th, I believe. I'm pretty sure I got that right. His birthday is Tuesday, March the 5th. And I just want to say, JT, happy birthday, man. Love you. Hope you have many, many more. I'm going to see you a couple of times this week. So happy birthday, Johnny Taylor. So I guess we're at the part where we just move on to the podcast now, right? The podcast this week is with Maria Barrera. Very funny comic out of Vallejo, the V-A-L-L-E-J-O. And Mariah, very cool cat, is into horror. We talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about horror movies. We talked about concerts. We talked about lumpia. We even talked about comedy. So please, without further ado, find Mariah on Instagram at Mariah_Mayhem. And please enjoy my conversation with Mariah Barrera. Bye. So you never heard that Judgment Night soundtrack?
No, dude, that was dope. I'm gonna go look that up.
Well, we can listen to the whole thing after the podcast.
That one's dope.
Yeah,
I love collabs like that.
The 90s were all about that. Do they still do it now?
No, like,
what are you kids doing nowadays?
Call me stupid, but, or like unupdated, but I thought that the Jay-Z and Linkin Park thing was like such a hit and done so well, and I heard that they were going to do more, but they just never got around to it. And I'm like, how cool. Jay-Z is obviously a fan of Linkin Park,
and Linkin Park's obviously a fan of Jay-Z.
Exactly.
Isn't that great?
Dude, it's, to me, I'm like, I always thought it was so weird when people are like, this music's maybe not for everybody, but Linkin Park, like, even just hearing their lyrics, like, how have you not related to something like that?
You know what I tripped out on the most when Chester left us was the people that were like, I knew Linkin Park was great, but they weren't my cup of tea.
Okay.
Right?
Fair.
But I knew they were great. The variety of people of my friends that I saw posting tributes to Chester that day.
He didn't even know liked him.
Like, from the little cholitas to, like, the fucking hardcore white dudes, like, and everything in between. Like, I couldn't believe, like, what a wide audience he had.
Not only just, like, the band is phenomenal. Like, he's not just a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was so into Linkin Park that I would look up, that I would watch, like, their behind the scenes stuff.
Nice.
The making the videos. And I remember Chester, like, talked about, like, he felt really, like, alone and stuff. And so they had Mike Schroeder in the band, who's a great rapper. Like, how does that not, you know, kind of, because not all Linkin Park songs are, you know, just hardcore, you know, loud instrument playing. Like, you know, Mike Schroeder's raps, if you listen to Meteora.
Wait. Pump the brakes, because I do not know that much about Linkin Park.
Okay.
So you're telling me that there's two vocalists in Linkin Park?
Yes.
So, like, the screaming then is, like, Chester Bennington, yeah, and the rapping is the other dude?
Is Mike Schroeder.
I thought they were both Chester.
No.
Oh, sir. See? I did not know that. No. Not intended.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Mike Schroeder's the rapper.
Okay.
And he's dope. I haven't heard when you mentioned that Chester had his, like, solo album. I was actually always listening to the projects that Mike Schroeder was working on.
Is he still doing stuff?
I believe so. I'm not updated on him anymore.
All right.
I should, though, because, again, he's great. Sometimes on my Spotify, when I'm listening to, like, it's funny, I'm listening to, like, Tupac or A Tribe Called Quest or what's that other one? Hieroglyphics, Gorillaz. A lot of Mike Schroeder's side projects come up, and I'm like, oh, you can tell his voice right away.
Wow.
So that's why I'm like, oh shit, this is cool, this is dope. So there's, if you like rap and stuff, like, there's some,
love rap,
there's some dope side projects he's been doing that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm putting that on my list.
Mariah Mayhem, how the hell are you?
Dude, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to finally have you here, because you're a fucking nerd and I love all of it. And
isn't,
I'm like, I want to kick it with that chick and talk. And I'm like, oh, I got a podcast, we could do that.
Yeah. No, I'm always excited when people want to talk about this stuff, because it seems like, no, at least, like, in people in their 30s, you know, or a little older don't really want to talk about it, or they're shy about talking about it, because you get made fun of. At least growing up in Vallejo, you know, during high school and stuff, I was definitely considered a weirdo. And I'm like, but why? Like, this stuff is cool.
are you a 90s kid, a 2000s kid?
Like, I mean, I was born in 91, so more 90s.
Okay, yeah. So the Linkin Park stuff, like, you didn't listen to that when it first came out? Like, you went back and discovered it as a teenager?
No, so my brother actually, oh, like, yeah, my brother was the one. I owe a lot of my stuff that I'm interested in to my brother Adam.
How much older than you is he?
He's, oh my gosh, he's gonna hate me. Like, I think he's like 39.
Okay.
And I'm 32.
Okay, so he's like 7 years older. Oh, that's, oh, yeah. I have that age gap between me and my oldest nephew.
Don't they teach you cool things? Or you're teaching cool things.
And I get exactly what you're saying. So how did you get Linkin Park handed to you?
My brother, like I said, was listening to the Hybrid Theory album, and my mom would pick us up from school and he would have it playing. Like, he would just popping the CD, and I was like, this is dope.
So, like, at that point, your brother's like a freshman maybe in high school. He's in high school, and that's what
I don't know. We didn't go to high school together because he's 7 years. I think I was like freshman, so he was already graduated.
But he was listening to that stuff.
Yeah, and it was dope. It was so cool.
What else was he listening to? Is that because you like mentioned Tribe, you mentioned Tupac, and it's like you're like a little bit young for that, but yeah, that's where it came from.
No, my brother Jason was more into like the kind of hip-hop R&B and stuff.
How many siblings is there?
I have two older brothers, an older sister and a younger sister.
Okay, so you're the third of four.
I'm the fourth of five.
The fourth of five.
Yeah.
Okay,
so so that's why I'm here talking, because middle child. But
yeah, no one listened to you.
No, you know, just maybe a little bit. But no, and then my brother Adam was more into like the alternative new metal scene, so like he was listening to like Korn, which I love Korn, Linkin Park, was another band that I Filter. I think I got into Tool because of him, although I'm not the biggest Tool fan. I was more of a Perfect Circle.
Ooh,
yeah.
Also, Tool scares me. A Perfect Circle terrifies me.
I was wanting to get scared from Tool because for me, I had never listened to Tool, and they're considered a metal band. So when people would ask me, "Hey, do you like Tool?" I'm like, "No." And then I would mention A Perfect Circle. I had no idea that they were both the same lead singer.
Oh, you didn't?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I like A Perfect Circle's music a little bit more. And then, but then I saw Tool at Aftershock like a few years back. And when I was listening to him, I was like, this is not what I expected. I expected a heavy metal, like, not saying they're not, if they are classified as that.
Yeah, it's not quite heavy metal,
no,
right? It's
like, what is it? It sounds like A Perfect Circle to me.
All right, I get it.
But that was, yeah, so I was just like, okay, I was a little, not saying underwhelmed, but I wasn't there to see them either. I can't remember who was at that one. I've been Aftershock maybe like 3 or 4 times.
Do they all start to blend together? Because there's so many bands.
If you notice, like a lot, even out-of-state ones start to blend together. Mm-hmm. So, which is cool, but I didn't go to, I went to Sick New World last year. In May, and that was dope. That was so cool. System of a Down was the headliners, and Deftones were there. Korn was there.
Where was that?
In Vegas.
Oh, are they doing? Is that a yearly one now?
They do it now. Uh-huh. I think it is going to be yearly because it's going on this year. But it's this, kind of the same bands. It's System of a Down headlining again. Not saying there I would go again, but if I'm going to make a big trip, I don't want to go to Vegas again to see the same headliners or the same bands. You know, I want to see somebody different.
Isn't it great that fucking Aftershock is here and it's turned into such a huge? Did you see this year's lineup?
I haven't actually.
I got it for you right here.
Okay,
are you ready?
See it.
Okay, so it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Oh, those are the ones that are like Limp Bizkit, right?
So Thursday is Slayer, Pantera, Cypress Hills.
Oh, Cypress Hills.
Friday is Slipknot, Death Punch, Mastodon. Saturday, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, What the fuck, on the same day?
I mean,
that doesn't, that's like,
I wonder if that, if that ticket's still available.
That's insane. Because
they film in singles.
Saturday, Motley Crue, Disturbed, Flogging Molly, Tom Morello.
Tom Morello, that's from Rage Against the Machines.
Oh shit, Body Count is also. So Saturday's the day, dude. Because Saturday is like. Did I say Tech Nine? I don't. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I'd go see Tech Nine.
Let me look. I gotta put the reading glasses on. So yeah, Saturday, like Iron Maiden, Breaking Benjamin.
Oh, I love Breaking Benjamin.
Anthrax, Sirens, Judas Priest, Body Count, Ice-T's band.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know.
Tech Nine. Wow. Okay.
Okay. They got a nice little lineup this year.
You, when you do Aftershock, do you do all the days or do you pick and choose what day?
I try to do all the days just because most of the time they're bands that I haven't seen before. So, and then, you know, I think if you get the like the first round of tickets when they sell them, they're a lot cheaper. So if I'm going to spend $100 for single days, I might as well spend $200-$300 to buy all 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, and then decide if I want to go or not.
And it's a good festival, huh?
It's great. Dude, I've met the nicest people at rock festivals.
You know, I drive Lyft, and I take people to and from concerts all the time, and I get so excited about it.
Yeah.
The Aftershock was the best tipping crowd that, like, next year I'm going to take the days off from my regular job to just drive.
They are the most generous. They are the nicest, most generous people I've ever met. Like, the same thing. I think I'd taken a Lyft the last time I had gone, and I met up with some friends that were going. She goes with her family, her entire family.
That's what I was gonna say. I picked up a lot of like father daughters, daughter son, like a lot.
It's her mom, her dad,
yeah,
her cousins, her uncles and aunties. They're all there. So like, not only do I have a spot to like chill, they're like, oh. A beer? I got this round. I'm like, damn, like, I'm glad I brought money because, like, I'm gonna take the next round.
Yeah.
You know, but you gotta buy, like, ten beers.
Why do we do that as a culture?
Because we're Mexican, maybe. I don't know. Did you see how much bread I brought you? I was like, there can't be enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, why do, yeah, I was just telling Laura, like, look at this bag of bread.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You got, you know, for me, I'd rather have more than less.
Well, did you see how much food we made?
Well, dude, that's why I was like, oh my God, I'm going to eat this fat ass bread. And then now I'm going to eat a burrito. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we went on a tangent there. We want to talk real quick. Let's talk about, movies that sucked, but the soundtrack was great.
What was it? Spawn is considered a shitty movie. I hate that, but it's considered a terrible movie. Uh-huh. The soundtrack, phenomenal.
They're reissuing it.
The
Spawn soundtrack is coming out on Record Store Day. They're making us like Record Store Day. It's for like the record store nerds, which look around you.
Dang.
And they put out
we're going.
They put out these special pressings. Yeah. Oh, we can go. Definitely.
Oh, I'm trying to go.
And the Spawn soundtrack is on the list of this year's represses.
That's I have to get that. I have to get that. I love that.
Who's on that again?
On the album, there's Incubus, Marilyn Manson, Filter. Else is on there. I'd have to like go through it because I'm mixing it up with The Crow right now.
You know, I saw Marilyn Manson at the height of the Marilyn Manson-ness.
Oh, when he was all skinny and creepy.
And he was scarier in real life.
Like, I bet.
I was genuinely scared. Like, I was like, this is fucking crazy.
If it was in his like,
It was the dope tour. So,
was scary.
What was the name of that? Mechanical Animals.
Was it? I thought one. Okay.
It was the Mechanical Animals had dope show.
And then was it the Beautiful People?
It was the album after that one.
Okay. That one's my favorite.
Yeah.
That one. I think it has like Disposable Teens. And,
well, that one was still produced by Trent Reznor, right?
And then, I mean, and we could talk about Trent Reznor.
God.
That guy.
What? You want to go down a Trent Reznor rabbit hole?
Yes. Let's hear it, Jesse.
Well, okay. So here's my take on Trent Reznor. He's fucking genius and he is diabolically mean because to me in that song, the song Closer, you know, everyone knows the "Fuck You Like an Animal" song. The meanest thing that he says in that song, where he says, "You let me complicate you."
Yeah, that is mean. You're
that
right.
That is so fucking mean.
He's up here manipulating us.
He's like, "You let me." It's like, "You let me, so I'm gonna do it." That's my hot take on Trent Reznor.
He's so cool. I love him. He's like, I went to go see him 1 year. I think I was like 24.
Where'd you see him?
25. At the Far One near San Jose.
Who was playing with him?
It was Nine Inch Nails. Oh my God, who was before them? It was me. I think we had missed the before bands because me and my sister. It was me and my older sister, and she had got me a ticket for my birthday, and I was going to go by myself, and I didn't want to, so I was looking online to buy her a ticket, and the people were reselling the tickets for dummy cheap.
Yeah.
Her ticket, I paid like $20, and so so she drives us there. We're in the car getting drunk, and she had never heard Nine Inch Nails before this, and we go to the, so it was just me and her, and it was a really cool experience to like be able to see a band that I absolutely love with my sister, who wasn't familiar with them. And after the show, she was like, "I didn't know Nine Inch Nails before this, but that was an amazing, like, probably one of the best concerts I've seen." So
yeah, to me, Nine Inch Nails was a bucket list band.
He's dope.
Yeah,
his show is just amazing. The stage moves, he interacts with the audience, like, awesome. He sounds the way he does on record.
Well, he's in such great shape. Like, he took such good care of himself.
I didn't notice that.
I did.
I was watching a video of them playing live, and my mom like walked in the room, and she's like, "He's got some nice arms." I was like, "Look at that face. Like, he's got a nice everything."
Yeah. Have you seen the video of him and Gary Numan doing Cars?
No.
We're fucking watching that right after this podcast. It's gonna be weird.
Like that, his videos are so weird. I'm like, I don't get this.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Why do you have to have a monkey strapped to a cross? Like, you're making it uncomfortable. But it's a good song.
You know what's so creepy about that video, where it's all
not scene, the monkey strapped
where it's
cross?
All scene deleted. Like, it's got like it.
Oh yeah.
It says like scene deleted. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
right. You're like, I'm gonna go to jail. I don't know what I'm watching.
I love Nine Inch Nails. I'll still get into moods where that's what I want to hear.
Dude, it's just, and you like, and he has so many different like music too within, you know, to me, within Nine Inch Nails, but he's also a composer.
Yeah,
you know,
there's the soundtrack stuff
he did. Yeah, right. For Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, he did the social network
is one of my favorite soundtracks. Dude, to put on when I'm working.
So good. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime I hear Nine Inch Nails in movies, I'm like, yes.
The, I'm
like,
all whoever, in.
Somebody's a Nine Inch Nails fan, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And he does, like, the dark, creepy movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cause, like,
I haven't seen a girl with a dragon tattoo.
It's like, Social Network is kind of dark. Like,
oh yeah, dude. Like, you can tell by just, like, the lighting in it. I noticed, yeah, like...
Yeah, it's creepy.
I took a film class, and she points out stuff like that. So, like, I think the lighting they used a lot in there was blue. So, blue is supposed to be, obviously, like, depressing, kind of hard to see, you know? So, that's why I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Wow.
So...
You're studying film, or is this something you want to do, or you just took a class?
I just took a class in college. Okay. It was just a film, like, they show you the list of movies they're going to watch in it, and they were some
you're like,
seen.
I
want
to see those.
Well, yeah, like, I had never seen Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
And the Spike Lee one.
Yeah, I know.
And, yeah, but, she, obviously you're watching the movie, but she wants you to pay attention to the color of the buildings, the color, you know, it's supposed to be based in the hottest day of
the
year.
That's all I was about to say, is, like, the thing about Do the Right Thing is all I can picture is them, like, rubbing.
Yeah.
Like rubbing sweat, like,
yeah.
They were just constantly, like, they were sweating constantly.
Yeah, but you know, we were supposed to pay attention, like I said, to the scenery and stuff, and how, like, you know, and to me, that now I pay attention to that in movies, where I'm like, oh snap, that's crazy, you know, oh, I know what that color means, like, so stupid stuff like that. But yeah, no, Trent Reznor is the shit. Cool dude.
How does all of that we just talked about, the dark music, the dark movies, the concerts. How do you carry that onto the stage when you do comedy?
I mean, you can only write about what you know. Okay. So, like, my, you know, I, and for me, that it thinks it's, you know, when I do retell these stories to people, you know, they think it's genuinely funny, you know, so it's, they're all, I can say that my work is from my past, you know, stuff that I've dealt with as, you know, being from the Bay Area, you know, during the hyphy the movement, and being Mexican and more alternative, you know, it's all you could just imagine, you know, the stuff that, you know, you kind of just deal with or see, you know. So to me, I'm like, this is funny. This is hella fucking funny. And my friends that maybe aren't into this the same stuff, you know, they can show me something and I can show them something, because I want to watch scary movies, you know. I want to watch, I want to listen to this weird music, but, you know, I'm also a rap fan. I'm, you know, maybe more hip-hop and R&B, but, you know, and then I get that from my mom, you know. So everything I talk about on stage or write about come from my experiences, and again, it's hilarious.
So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Vallejo?
Yeah, I was born in San Francisco, and I was raised in Vallejo.
And you're still in Vallejo now?
Oh yeah.
How far is the drive? Like 45 minutes?
45? No, it's like an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
So you're,
I drove fast.
You're doing comedy mostly in Sacramento, or mm-hmm. are you dipping into San Francisco, or is San Francisco even harder because the traffic is so bad?
I did like maybe one or two shows in San Francisco. I've, you know, I've been doing comedy for like a year and a half, almost two. Yeah, driving to the shows. I've driven to two shows that I was on in like, one was in Oakland and one was in San Francisco. And oh my God, I was like, I'm going to be late. 'Cause I can't even find parking in this place. And I just hate driving in the city in general, because everyone's a dick. People are just walking into the street.
Everyone's like, just super aggressive. Like, dude, everyone's just like, get out of my way.
Even the walkers, they know I'm not going to hit them. But I'm like, you don't just have to do that, though. There's a crosswalk 2 feet away. But everyone's going at their own pace out there. So that's why I don't have the patience for it. But I got to. I got to go out there, be more known out there.
So you come more to Sacramento?
Yeah.
How often do you come down? Like, do you have like a set?
Once or twice a week. I try to do more, you know, not just because of the mics and stuff or whatever, but because all the mics are different, you know that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some places, you know, I never see you at. And then when I see you, I'm like, oh, what's up, Jesse? Like, what you doing here? Like, so, yeah, they're all different. So, but also the community, you know, the community, they're great. You know, so that's why, you know, if I maybe miss the mic or if I don't feel like going up, well, at least I get to see my friends.
I go to a lot of mics that I don't even go up.
Yeah.
Just because I need to be around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why you'll see me pretty often out here. It's because, yeah, I just want to hang out sometimes too. You know?
Sometimes I go to Vince's just to see Danny Luna. Like, I just want to see my brother Danny, you know?
I haven't been to Vince's in a minute. But I do like it there too. Everyone's nice. All the people that I normally see at, you know, Henry's or I just started going to Stab recently. But Henry's, or, you know, you come from Golden Bear to Henry's on Mondays. So, you know, the same people you're going to see. So that's why, you know, I'll make my trips out here to Sacramento.
When you do that, what time are you getting back home?
Oh, one in the God. Morning, one, two, sometimes, you uh-huh. know. So, yeah, I'm usually pretty tired. But Mondays are pretty, you know. I like Mondays, but I need to come out here more on Sundays because my days off are Sunday, Monday. So on Mondays, I have to go to work the next day, and I'm usually tired.
So, are you gonna hang out in town today and like try to hit Stab, or are you not?
I'm thinking about it. I don't know yet. It's
a long time.
It's a long time away. You know, so. Probably not.
You know,
this was what I came out here for today.
You know, every Sunday I wake up with the intention of like, I'm gonna hit Touch of Class tonight.
Okay.
And then like at about 7 o'clock, I'm like, oh, no, I need to go to bed early.
Right.
Tomorrow's Monday.
That's
I should
me.
Really get a jump on the day. And
when after I do Golden Bear, and everyone's like, you go to Henry's, I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, I need to be taking all the time I can get as a newer comic. So I need all the practice. So But Henry's, you know, it's so loud in there. It's so loud in there.
Where did you do, so you've been doing it about a year and a half, you said?
Yeah.
Where did you do, what made you decide, fuck it, I'm going to do it? Like, because you're not, like, because, like, some people start when they're 18.
Right.
I hate those fuckers. Yeah. Damn it. They're so, like, I know. I'm so jealous, like, right?
Did you not work? Did you not have a job? Yeah, were you not going to school?
You're in your early 30s, right? So, ooh, like, what made you, like, midlife crisis or quarter life crisis?
Wow, thanks. No, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say
third,
you know,
life crisis. What you know? What made you jump on stage?
Because
you didn't do it when you were 22. No, when you were 25.
I did not. Thanks what for made, pointing that out.
What made you do it when you were 32?
No, well, I started when I was 30, going on 31.
Okay, what made you start then?
It was actually my friends that live in Stockton. I had just like ended a relationship and they were like, you need to come to Stockton to this place called Cap's Pizza where we went to go eat because they do comedy nights there.
So your friends weren't even comics?
No.
And they told you to go to Cap's on the mic on a Tuesday?
Because I'd been talking about it. I've always talked about it.
Oh, I love it. Go. Keep going.
And so I had always talked about it, and I guess people just got tired of me talking about it. So she was like, no, you got to do it. So come out. And so she had talked to Nick Michelson, who runs the mic there. And I think it was like on a Wednesday. Or no, it's Tuesdays.
Caps is on Tuesdays, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be like, you bitch.
I didn't want to correct you, but
no, yeah, like correcting myself. Yeah. No, they're Tuesdays.
Girls don't like when you correct them.
I don't want to be wrong, so correct me if I say something stupid. So, yeah, I went out there, met, you know, the 209 scene. And of course, they were like, come back again, and they invited me to what I thought was another mic at what's the one that Jordan Quattlebaum Co's, and I thought it was a mic. It wasn't a mic. It was a fucking showcase. Uh-huh. And I'm like, bruh, I'm new. And I think they bumped me up. Like, I think I was number 5 on the list because I didn't know what I was gonna do. And they bumped me to like 3. And before that, I don't know if you're familiar with Bilal Shimong.
No.
Okay, he's 209. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. But he lives in LA now, but he's from like Manteca. And they bumped me after behind him. And he was fucking killing.
Kill? He was killing.
And I'm like, okay. Like, so I was like, I hate you, Jordan. Like, you didn't tell me this was a showcase, and how are you gonna put me up after him? And so I just went there and just started talking. I got a couple probably sympathy laughs, and that was it. So I was like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this.
You had a classic bombing your second time up. Yo, at a showcase.
I had a bombing my first hella times, like, in the beginning. So it was, I was like, this wasn't too good for the confidence, but I guess I already started, you know, so let's just go. And they were always inviting me back, so I was like, okay, I gotta go. We'd already exchanged social media, you know how those guys are.
Yeah, those guys are great. 209, shout out.
Yeah, so they're always, you're gonna come? And so, you know, I just... They're awesome people, so that's why I'm just like, okay, yeah, at least same mentality. At least if I'm not feeling confident to go up, at least I can go hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
When did you fucking just murder for the first time?
Oh, God. When did I feel like I'm murdered? Taylor Evans, that's from Turlock,
yep,
had put me on some really good shows. I think he had... we were working together at Bricks and Hop, which was
Manuel Martin and Mark Maron.
Mark Maple. Yeah.
The other Mark.
Oh, no, sorry. It was Ibiza. Oh, okay. It was Ibiza when they still had that one. And they put me on. I think I did the best at the time that I was doing.
Taylor Evans is a killer.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So for him to be like, hey, like, you know, you're clearly new, so like, let me put you on to some good shows that, you know, you can at least...
follow a good comic, be right in between a good comic. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, okay, perfect. Uh-huh. So he's put me on some really good ones. So yeah, just, you know how it works. Some people, you know, he's from Turlock and he came to Stockton to go, you know, show up for the show. He was on the show. He was the headliner. So, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. You mentioned being growing up Mexican. How Mexican, like, how far back? Like, were your grandparents from Mexico? Your parents from Mexico? Like,
so my dad's from Mexico.
Your dad's from Mexico. My dad's from Mexico. And your mom is?
She's from San Jose, not in Mexico.
Okay. Is your mom's mom from Mexico?
Yeah, her family. Yeah.
So you're hella Mexican.
Pretty darn Mexican.
So did you grow up speaking Spanish?
No, absolutely not. No, we're, well.
Because your mom didn't speak.
No, she speaks.
She speaks it, but she didn't speak it at the house. Your dad might have spoken more?
So my dad, like, was only speaking Spanish at the time. You know, he was practicing his English and stuff. But my mom would talk to, obviously, she's a stay-at-home mom, so we interacted with her more. And she speaks both, actually, perfect. She could turn that switch on and off.
Uh-huh.
So her English is perfect, and so is her Spanish. So, but she would talk to us in English, and my dad would talk to us in Spanish, and we just wouldn't pick it up. We would just answer him in English. So, like...
Would your dad get frustrated? Like,
oh, dude, this one time... He kept asking, he was like, chancla, which is sandals.
Yeah, and we all know chancla.
So he was like yelling at me. He's like, go get your chanclas. And I'm like, I don't have any gum.
Chicle?
I don't have any gum. And he's, because chicle means gum.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, bruh, I don't, how many times did I tell you I ain't got no gum? And he's like, can you go put your shoes on?
My mom used to like tell my niece, go get your chocolate. And my niece wouldn't know what, and she would just go grab random things and bring them back.
I'm dead. That's until awesome. She
finally would just get lucky and like, oh yeah.
Oh, this was it. I knew it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So today you can't speak Spanish?
Absolutely not.
Could you like order at a Mexican restaurant in Spanish?
Oh hell, I mean, I'm
not gonna, even that.
I'm gonna sound like, no disrespect, love Britney Beer, but I'm gonna sound like Britney Beer when she did that joke in Spanish.
I heard that the other day.
Oh my, that little cutie pie. My she goodness. She
destroyed you with that.
I was like, when Alvin Duke was like, what'd she say? And I was like, I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure either, but that was fucking funny. I have no idea,
but that was good job, Brittany. But yeah, no.
I remember I texted you that night see how you're done.
Me out. And I was like, freaking out.
And you're like, no, she deserved it. And then a couple weeks later, I ran across it.
Mm-hmm.
On, you know,
right.
On Insta or something. I was like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Brittany, you beautiful person. Oh, I hate you.
I love Brit. She's great.
So sweet. My goodness. That's why I was like,
so talented.
Dude. And what a cutie pie. You know, she's a great writer. She's a great actress. Like, I didn't know what to go from during that time, during the thing. And so
those roast battles are tough if you're not writing together.
No, not at all. You know, Brittany's busy, obviously. I clearly have nothing to do because I'm over here like stressing and asking everybody else about it. So no, like it's everyone when they have the time, you know, clearly look at her. She didn't even need that much time. You know, I was stressing about it for a day. She did her stuff. Then we did end up getting in touch with each other. So I gave her a little bit. She gave me some of hers. So we did, you know, we did the best we could. She obviously did better. So no, love Brittany Beer. That was my first time meeting her.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. I like Britt a lot. Is it Brittany?
Brittany. Well, I
don't know. I get it. Yeah.
I get, you know. I don't think your parents just named her Britt. So. Or maybe they did. Sorry. But yeah. So.
Do your brothers speak Spanish?
They do. They do. Yeah.
So you're just the one that didn't pick it up?
Me and my sisters, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like the youngest one, don't speak any Spanish there because she's going to look at you like, what? Understands a little bit, not as much, but we're all now. I feel like I don't understand it as much either because I feel like I don't hear it as, you know.
And often. Yeah, if you're not practicing it, it's
no, not at all. So that's why I'm like, if I'm gonna learn, I need to do it, but I haven't done it. So
what? We're gonna backtrack a little bit. What got you into these? What would you describe the type of movies you like? You walked in and you have a. Michael Myers backpack.
Clearly horror.
Yeah, was it straight? It's not like slasher or.
I wouldn't say I'm a big slasher. Like my favorite movies.
So what started it? Let's go there. What do you remember?
So my mom would let me watch Tales from the Crypt.
Ooh, she let me watch HBO Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, she let me watch Tales from the Crypt, and great. I mean, I have all the seasons. I watch them often, a lot. Those discs are worn.
You have them on DVD?
Oh yes.
You collect stuff like that?
I mean, I have to have that. They're not streaming anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. When you said you have it, well, you actually have physical.
Oh yes, I will bring. Like if I ask someone, hey, can we watch Tales from the Crypt? And they're like, yes, but I don't. And I'm like, I have it right. Yeah,
don't
here.
Worry about it. You got a VCR? Well, yes. Who's got? I said VCR.
It's not a VCR.
I
know. DVDs, sir.
Who's got DVD players still?
I mean, I'll bring my PlayStation 2 if we got to do it. Oh, you know?
That's right. Okay.
I think my PlayStation 2 is just ready right there. Because I like to watch, like I said, I like to watch scary movies pretty often. And usually they're ones that are not streaming. So, like, I have to, like, if I'm going to watch Tales from the Hood, if you're open to let me watch showing you Tales, I got to bring all my equipment with you. You know, I'm not going to make it harder for you. Uh-huh. You just made it easy for me. So, yeah, clearly it's horror is the number one genre.
So it's Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt started it off. And on HBO, I don't know if you ever watched it on HBO.
The Hitcher.
But no, but I mean, like, but right after Tales from the Crypt would come on, Dennis Leary's stand-up special would come on, and my parents would watch that, so I would be watching his stand-up. But no, Tales from the Crypt. And then the movies I was watching a lot, like Child's Play.
I love
Child's Play. It used to come on USA. All three of them would come on. I would watch like what's his name? Joe Bob had that show on TNT where he would show scary movies. The setup was like him outside his trailer.
Uh-huh.
And he'd have a little fire and he'd show, like, I watched Return of the Living Dead on there. And he had Lena Quigley who played Trash in the movie. She would be like, he would have guests there. He'd show Night of the Living Dead, the remake, not the whichever the older one came out in.
So what do you think about like those old ones like Nosferatu or like
I mean,
do you go back that far with
no, honestly
okay. Oh, what about like The Exorcist? I'm just gonna touch on some of the classic ones like The Exorcist.
Oh, we weren't allowed to watch that in the house. Like we that was the one allowed? Scare. Oh, my mom is like, I mean, she's Mexican. Oh yeah. Yeah, she's absolutely not. This one, no. So it was always like so taboo.
Uh-huh.
And my aunt, you know, like to she. I actually owe a lot of my interest in horror to her too, because my aunt was the one that showed me Tales from the Crypt from the first time, and what was I saying?
Your aunt, we're talking about The Exorcist.
Oh yeah, so The Exorcist. My bad. So The Exorcist. Yeah, my aunt had a picture of Linda Blair from The Exorcist that was she cut out from like a magazine. So anytime my mom we'd go over to her house, my aunt would be like, "Oh, I gotta show you something, Valerie. Like, come over." And she would just re-show her the picture, and my mom would yell, so you knew, like, "Oh, my aunt showed her the picture again." So we were.
So was your mom like a practicing Catholic? Does she still go to church?
Of course not.
No,
we're that Mexican where it's like you fear God, but church that's early.
Would she go to like mass on Christmas Eve?
No, what the heck? We got stuff. We're Mexican. We celebrate on Christmas Eve. We got stuff
Hell
to
yeah.
do.
Isn't that the best,
dude? So I'm like, I go to my friends. I'd be like, so you're telling me y'all don't get to stay up till midnight and open up presents and just watch your family get fucked up? Your Christmas is boring.
Well, when do you guys do tamales, right? Does your family do tamales?
We used to. It was so, our neighbors were Filipino. And so like every Christmas when we were kids, my mom would give us a plate of tamales to go run to the neighbor, and then they'd trade us like lumpia.
Score.
Yes. I was like, this is dope. No, yeah, we're that Mexican where it's like kind of like
I love the trading tamales for lumpia with the neighbors.
And it's awesome. So devil stuff like was very like, and I also like, you know, I do believe in, you know, like God kind of, you know, and so I don't like people like, you like the Ouija board, you know, no, absolutely not. What
yeah,
the heck?
I get a little like, I don't know what I am, but I do get a little bit freaked out with the whole devil.
I don't want to talk to the dead. I'm alive. Like, I've never seen a ghost. I'm not into ghost movies either. Like, you don't need to prove yourself that you're real. I believe you. You stay dead over there. I'll be alive over here. Like, you don't got to show yourself to me. I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's that, we weren't allowed to watch The Exorcist in the house. So anything devil related kind of, you know, my mom didn't really fucks with during the time, but now she's cool with it. Now, you know, she's like, I'll watch it, like, just not by myself and in the daytime. I'm like, okay. But it's not one that it's like, I don't like gravitate towards that one. That I don't watch that one like for enjoyment. That one's like, when you make me mad and I'm like, you want to watch a scary movie and I want to kind of shake you up a little bit.
Did you ever watch The Strangers?
Great movie.
I was going to say.
So underrated.
That movie fucked me.
So,
I couldn't be alone for like 8 months afterwards.
It's really hard to scare me. Like, people are like, do you watch them because they're scared? I just enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so The Strangers was one where the jump scares get you.
Yeah,
they are filled with them. They're very practical. They're very, you know, not that big, but Jesus Christ, like, no. I saw that in theaters.
Holy shit.
Yes. I was working at Cold Stone at the time, and I remember I was so tired. My mom was like, let's go watch this movie, and I was like, damn, I'm falling asleep, you know. And not because the movie was boring. I woke right up after the first jump scare. I was like, nope, not tired anymore.
My sister one time told me a story of watching The Shining in the theater.
Oh.
And how at the end, when Danny was running through the snow and yeah. the dad was chasing, that the people in the audience were running, were cheering, run.
That's run. Dude, I love those experiences.
Yes,
those
are so few and far between. I'm so glad you got to see. What are you looking forward to with scary movies? Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
What am I looking forward to? I haven't been following too much.
What's up with the new Crow?
Oh, man. I mean, the first picture kind of upset me a little bit because he looks like Machine Gun Kelly, like in a leather jacket.
Do you know who it is?
It's Bill. How do you pronounce his name? Skarsgård or something. The guy who was who played Pennywise in the remake of.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Do you know the director? Like,
no,
but yeah, that first picture is very Machine Gun Kelly-ish.
They've talked about bringing it back so many times. I think last year or 2 years ago, Jason Momoa was supposed to be doing that.
Really?
And then the project got canceled because of, like, it said, I think the article said, like,
do you think he's too big? Because Draven wasn't scary. He was geeky, like
Bruce Lee's son.
Yeah,
you know, he was fit, great body.
Yeah, but he wasn't menacing.
No. I mean, like, because I used to read the comic books, and so, like, the body type is just, you know, fit abs, you know, but not, I would say that it is the current actor that they have now, kind of, but the tattoos and I think he has a mullet. I have some problems with this.
I wonder if the tattoos are some type of symbols that we're just not reading into enough.
Some of them are just stupid. There was like his like, spoiler alert, there's one tattoo that he has like on his pec, and it looks like a face, and the eyeball is the nipple. And I was already getting really upset. I'm like, I don't like this. I really don't like this.
So are you going to watch it regardless, though, when it comes out?
Of course. I've seen all of them, you know. And the first three were but the last one with Edward Furlong was really hard to watch. That was a toughie. But I got through it.
Did Edward Furlong played him?
Edward Furlong played the Crow.
Wow.
I think they're also, so after the first one, they did just new versions of the Crow. They weren't supposed to be Eric Draven.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty bad.
When's it supposed to be out? Do you know?
I have no idea. I haven't been following it like that. I'm just waiting for more pictures to come out before I'm like,
yeah, that was the first one.
This is going to be bad.
What about like Beetlejuice 2? Are you onto that?
I love Beetlejuice. Love Beetlejuice. I haven't been following it, just what I see like pop up on social media.
Yeah.
But I know it's finally, because they've talked about it for so many years.
Yeah.
So many years, and it's not, it just didn't happen. And I kind of didn't take this one that seriously.
Because it's been happening for so long.
Yeah. That I was like, I mean, I guess when the poster comes out, then, and people like, what makes things seem, you know, things can get pulled in a second. So I'm
especially
like,
Warner Brothers,
right? You know, so that's why I was like, you know, let's see how far this goes, and then once there's like a you know, tickets are available, then I'll know it's real.
That's when you'll finally
yes be like, okay, then we'll go.
Okay, you know? So all right, let's you want to start want to go around the corner now? We're gonna start wrapping this up. I got this segment called Five Easy Questions. I don't know if you knew about it.
No,
but yeah, that's surprising. So I'm gonna ask you five easy questions, and that's gonna lead us out of the podcast.
Gotcha.
All right, Mariah, are you ready for five easy questions?
Ready.
Okay. Question number one, who or what inspires you?
Like comedian-wise or just...
Let's say comedian-wise. That's comedian-wise, what popped up.
Amy Sedaris. So funny. Mm-hmm. Used to watch Strangers of Candy when I was a kid. And Dave Attell. I used to watch Insomniac with Dave Attell on Comedy Central. And just...
You know what's great about those two is they're still doing it, too.
Right,
and they're still evolving. Like you watch Dave Attell today, and you watch Dave Attell 20 years ago. I mean, you know it's him, but it's still
totally.
Yeah,
like they to me, they both have very distinct voices. I can always tell whenever I see Amy Sedaris pop up on a movie or a show. I'm like, yes, love it.
Awesome, Amy Sedaris and Dave Attell. All right, those guys are great. Guys and gal are great. What question number two? What are you currently binging? And I know when we say binging, we think about like Netflix and stuff like that. But like, we could be talking about like a series of books, a particular artist. Like, what are you currently like, I can't get enough of this?
I am binge through TV. I'm not reading books. Come on. Modern Family.
Okay.
On Hulu.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
So funny, dude. The writers on there are... genius. The stuff they say on there, I'm like, oh my god.
How many seasons is there?
There's 11 seasons, so it ran on for a while.
And what are you on right now?
I'm on season 7, so I rewatch them. I have the habit of rewatching things.
That's not a bad habit.
I haven't seen that many new stuff because like
you're just rewatching old
call
stuff.
Call it depression.
Well, I was like, gonna say, yeah, you know that's yeah.
Yeah, you're just rewatching things. So
that is because it's comforting.
I'm just binge watching Tales from the Crypt again. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm always rewatching. Hilarious.
Did you mention Hulu? Have you watched Reservation Dogs?
No, but my younger sister is, and she's telling me that I need to.
You've got to watch
She said to watch it. She said Brandon Boyd, the lead singer of Incubus, is on, like, does a cameo in an episode.
So many people do cameos. Mark Maron does a cameo. Bill Burr does a cameo.
Wow.
There's a bunch of great cameos.
Okay, dang. Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
The episodes are only 30 minutes long.
Okay,
10 episodes per season, and there's only 3 seasons.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
It's very doable. Okay. I'm gonna remind you.
Please do.
Okay, question number 3. What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? Spiders.
Really? I was gonna say you probably ain't afraid of shit.
I'm afraid of spiders, I will say. I don't fucks with those. Yeah, no. Burn the whole house down.
All right. I was going to joke and say there's a spider behind you, but not after you said
Thanks.
That.
Don't do that.
Okay, question number 4. What would you request for your final meal if you were on death row?
Oh my goodness. What do I like? I'd probably request like boiling crab.
Ooh.
Boiling crab. Some crab legs and their sausages and grilled cheeses. I have a weakness for grilled cheeses. I like to try different cheese. I'm a cheese connoisseur. Grilled cheese. So when I used to work at Trader Joe's, we used to make like different combos.
Yeah.
We would use like Havarti with like pepper jelly, fig butter with like Munster cheese. Dude.
Stop.
I have a grilled cheese. I have a...
Like a panini?
Yes.
I have one too.
It's not a panini. It's a George Foreman.
I'm sorry. I have a panini press.
Grilled cheese press.
What?
So, yes. I take that with me sometimes too. I'm like, hey, can we watch Tales from the Crypt and I'll make you grilled cheese? Just say yes. you know, to letting me show you Tales from the Crypt. So, yes, I will fuck up some grilled cheese.
There's a grilled cheese place right up the street.
What?
Shift Coffee House, allegedly best grilled cheese in California.
Well, I'm gonna find out. That's crazy.
Yeah. Are you hungry again yet?
I mean, I could always eat, especially if it's grilled cheese.
Okay. Question number five. What's next? What do you have some goals for this year, or what are you doing?
I gotta work on Tuesday. No, just kidding. I gotta go to the gym in the morning. That's not, no. I want to just keep doing more shows, keep getting better. You know, I was recently in a car accident, and I feel like I lost, like, you know, a few months from recovering from that I want to just get back into where I left off. And I feel like I'm kind of at, you know, the beginning steps, you know, trying to get comfortable again and, you know, finding my footing and finally getting, you know, my sets down, you know. So I just want to keep doing better.
What, can we talk about the accident real quick? I forgot about that. I mean when you said it, I was like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. How long ago was that? What happened?
That was now like 7 months ago.
Uh-huh. It was bad, right?
It was pretty bad. Yeah. I was waiting at a stoplight to go to Safeway, and some dude rear-ended me, and I woke up in the hospital. And
so was he going full speed?
Apparently. Like, I don't remember shit. Like, that's how bad. Like, I had a concussion. I don't remember. Last thing I remember is pulling out of my driveway. I don't even remember getting to the light. I don't even remember. I even kind of thought it was my fault for a little bit because I couldn't remember. But nah, dude rear-ended me. I want to say they say like 60 miles an hour. It started like a 5-car collision. Fractured 12 ribs, broke 2.
Wait, you fractured 12 ribs?
Uh-huh. I had 12 fractured. I had 2 broken. I had a punctured lung. I had to have a blood transfusion in the hospital. And then I had neck fractures too. It's been a little...
How long were you in the hospital?
A week. That's all I could stand. I was like, get me out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, no. I was not staying there. I hated it. So... You know, that's why, you know, losing the months out of it, out of comedy, I'm like, I just want to get back.
How many months did you lose? And then you're in Vallejo, right? It's not like you're here in Sac that, like, we would have, like, taken you food and we would have done all the...
Right, Thelonious, you know Thelonious, she came out to see me. I was at Queen of the Valley in Napa. She came to see me and appreciate her so much for that. And then also people were like, you scared to drive? I was like, no, I got places to go, yo. So immediately, as soon as I got a car, was back to trying to do comedy. The first show I came back to was Johnny Taylor and Friends, and you were there. And during that time, my balance was off, dude. I was tripping over my feet. I could, you know, stand for only a certain amount of time. I could only sit for a certain amount of time. I was just uncomfortable. So I could tell it reflected in my comedy. The first show wasn't Johnny Taylor and Friends. It was actually, what's his name? Luke Soyons. Yeah, the one in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
A corner house. Uh-huh. And so you could tell, I like rewatched the video. I'm like, damn, I'm like huffing and I feel like I'm huffing and puffing, trying to catch my breath. Like, you know, it was a great set. Not a great set, but it was a great show. My set was all right.
How many minutes were you doing? You were huffing and puffing. I think like I did 7?
Like, yeah, I did like 7 to 8, something like that. but yeah, I was just uncomfortable, you know, but then... that'll take time to heal, but I'm better now. So that's why I was like, I just want to get back.
Do you think you're 100% now?
Oh no. I'm close to it. Like 85, 90? I would say like 85, 90.
Some days are 95, some days are 80.
Some days are like 70, 60. Really? Like some days I just can't get out of bed. I still can't sleep on my stomach. The pain? Yeah. Just like, you know, all them damn ribs have to get, you know, you can't do anything for that, you know, they just have to heal on their own, you know. And I was working out, I just wanted to get back to the gym. Some days I'd go to the gym, go a little too hard, and then I'd set myself back. So, you know, there were some shows that I would have to cancel, you know, because I was like, dude, I'm just not feeling up to it, you know, I'm sorry, you know. But at the time I was just taking it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
So
And how are you feeling today?
I'm at 90. I'm great. At 90 now. I feel way, way, way better. But now it's just me getting in my head when it comes to my sets and stuff, you know, of should I talk about this? Should I do my old set? Should I, you know, oh, I wanted to talk about this joke I couldn't do at an open mic and I want to include that one in. So now I just feel like my sets are kind of all over the place.
It sucks because you're like at a weird spot right now, like 18 months in, like, you feel like an open mic isn't enough time, but like you feel like a 10 or 12 minute set is too much time. Like, and so it's hard to find the happy medium.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if some comics recommend for you, when you're newer, don't do crowd work, you know, but I'm not gonna lie. I like to talk, you know, so therefore, and especially when I'm trying to fill time, I'm gonna, you know, try to engage the audience a little bit. Yeah,
you're trying to, like, at 18 months, you're trying to fill time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, because you're, you know, obviously when I can recite my jokes, but then when you're on stage, it's a whole different story. You know, you start getting nervous.
What happens at 18 months is, like, let's say you got a solid 10, right? You've got a solid 10, but also that 10 might not work at a, like, that's where you got to read the room, right?
Right.
Like, that 10 might work in Midtown. That 10's not going to work in West Sac.
No.
Or that 10. So you've got to, like, look at your set and you got to be like, I need to get rid of, like, 3 of these minutes because they are not going to like the fucking cheese Trader Joe's
They're
joke
not gonna
here
like the,
in West
the Dahmer
Sac.
Joke. Yeah. You know, that kind of. So, no, that's actually really funny because, like, what nights are Stab and then A Touch of Class?
Sunday
tonight.
Two completely different crowds,
dude. So I have the one set I'm gonna do that I can get away with at Stab. I know how to, like, you know, I like Touch of, I like Touch
I
of Class.
I love Touch of Class, you but know? You gotta flip it.
You have
you
to.
You ain't got fucking 10 minutes to tell a story at
no.
Touch of Class.
No, no, no. You better get to the punchlines.
Yeah.
You know, so for there, like, I think I'm also good at reading rooms to where, you know, at least now, you know, especially when it comes to comedy. As soon as I stepped in Touch of Class, I'm like, let's switch this around, say this, not that. Yeah.
You know what happens to me? First thing I walk into Touch of Class, I'm like, oh, I want some wings.
The best wings. I've never had crispier wings before than at Touch of Class. Mike, when me and Thelonious walk in there, because I'd never been there before, she's like, I want some wings. I'm going to go order some wings. And I'm like, you know, you've had the wings at other places and stuff, and you're like, okay, they're good.
Yeah. No.
But she was literally like, no, like, you come here for the wings.
Yeah.
She got some. Marcian got some. I had a little bit of both. Oh, I was like, oh, I see. I see why.
Yeah.
There's also a guy cooking in the back.
Yeah.
He's like making
have you had a hamburger? Have you had a cheeseburger there?
I've had a Philly cheesesteak there, and
holy
it's delicious.
Shit, the food is so good there.
I think I went back for a Polish dog because I was like, well, I have to try that. So, dude, I can't.
I love, you know what? You said the Polish dog. I fucking love walking out of a concert and getting a fucking street
dude,
hot dog.
Dude, he's, how much do you want, sir? Like, it's usually like $5, but I'm like, here's 7.
Yeah.
Cause dude, I'm, put all that on it. Put it all on there. Yes. Oh, you're so happy after a concert or like a sporting event. And there's those little hot dog vendors. Bless their heart.
Yeah. That's the best stuff. How's your coffee?
Good. Almost finished.
All right. See? Well, hey, guess what? The podcast is almost finished. Okay. Did we talk about everything you wanted to talk
about? We did. We got some good topics down, I think.
I think we were all over the place.
And that's, to me, that's the best.
Yeah.
We could talk a little bit about everything.
That was the best. You want another cup of coffee and a joint?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's get out of here.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Mariah. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. All right,
bye.